When was your last checkup? No, not you. Although that's important, too. But when was your last vehicle checkup? When it comes to service, nobody knows your Chevy better than your local Chevy dealer. Chevy Drive Chicago. Schedule a service appointment at your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer.
All right, welcome in everybody. Dave Plyer here on 720 WGN. We got a big show for you. Tom Mojo Carballo, he's a Radio Hall of Famer too, got his start in Chicago. He's been working in Detroit for the last 25 years doing radio, and he's going to join us to talk about the Museum of Broadcast Communications Front Row Experience charity auction with some very cool experiences to bid on. Then it's the 65th anniversary of the legendary comedy team, the Smothers Brothers, who made their television debut on the Jack Parr Show 65 years ago. An amazing journey in comedy, and we're going to hear about it all from half of that comedy duo, and that is Dick Smothers. But first off, it's our pal Gary Meyer joining us tonight. How are you, pal?
Dave, we've got Canadian smoke, we've got explosive diarrhea, and then last half hour, you're talking about killer spiders. We're going biblical, my brother.
We are going biblical. I've never experienced anything. I think maybe a year ago or 2 years ago, there was the wildfires that affected the breathing and stuff. I've never walked outside ever and just couldn't breathe. Like, this is bizarre. Next level right now.
I made a Manhattan and I put it out on the porch, left it for 10 minutes. I had a smoked Manhattan. And if you've ever had a smoked Manhattan, they're even better.
They are. How you doing? What's going on? How's your summer going so far?
Well, we're at that point in summer, Dave, where I don't want to think about this because I'll start freaking out, but there's going to be that, oh, I think the daylight is shrinking, and it's going to flip me out. I'm hoping the government does the full Monty, and we don't have to monkey with the clocks this fall.
Do you like that?
I like having whatever's daylight later in the day.
Okay. All right.
Whatever that setting is.
Yeah, it does screw you up. And I know the only other thing my daughter said to me, goes, well, don't you fall back? Don't you gain another hour? So we'll never get that hour back? And I'm like, so many times in life, you're never going to get that hour back.
If we can monkey with the clocks, then let's monkey with the calendar. Let's take 10 days out of January and put them in July.
Okay.
And do that.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. That's all man-made. We can do whatever we want.
Yeah, yeah. Look at the times that our kids are living through, man. You know, we always kind of think that times were simpler, but I kind of think when I talk to my kids about like what they do and on their phones and how they entertain themselves and everything else, I think their life is a little simpler than it was for us back in the day, so to speak.
Simpler meaning they are just completely immersed in this piece of plastic, where we went out to record stores and did all that stuff. Now we sound like our parents and grandparents, but there's no touchy feely.
No.
There's nothing to go and see. It's all on the phone.
Yeah.
And I think that part of it I would really miss if I didn't have it.
Yeah. I was watching, my daughter and her boyfriend were watching Superbad, which is 15 years ago already, which was like a generation's 16 Candles movie or whatever, only 15 years ago, and I don't think that sounds like it's a long time ago, and it was all about going to the mall. And now, like, I walked into Northbrook Center just to grab something because I knew there was a store in there. There's nobody in there. There's no stores in there. It's 90% vacant. It is so bizarre how quickly the way we do things in any category pivots so quickly. You know?
Well, I don't think isolation is good. I think the pandemic really showed us how that feels, and I don't think it's good. And now with all this technology, it gives us even more excuses not to do anything outside the house.
True.
And I don't get how that's going to be good.
No, not at all. And I would say also that, you know, there's certain things, and I wanted to talk to you a little bit about this too, is like, When I tell my kids about things that we used to do when we were their age and so forth, they're like, ah, it sounds boring, whatever. I mean, they will never rewind a mixtape with a pencil.
Okay. Some of this stuff I can agree that it's not that great.
No, yeah.
But,
yeah.
I mean, really, just going out and being with people, and I was talking to a former colleague of ours, Dean Richards, this evening, about this Odyssey movie that's opening this weekend. I have not been into a movie theater since before the pandemic.
Yeah,
and
me
I'm
neither.
Thinking, and I don't have a good excuse for it. It's just I need to get out. I want to go see a movie in a theater.
Did you miss laughing
really
with everybody?
Want that experience.
Yeah. Yeah. Like laughing at the same time, watching something together. I remember seeing Naked Gun in the theater, and it was, which I know is comedy from way back when, but how invigorating it is to like laugh amongst friends and family and neighbors and whatever. We don't do anything at the same time anymore. You know, we don't, especially TV. There's no shows we watch at the same time. I think people who are listening to radio, there's a little bit of communal action there. Maybe the Super Bowl, maybe the Grammys, maybe the Oscars. That's it. That's all we do as a group anymore. You know,
well, everything's fragmented and there's no community. There's no, hey, we're all on this page for the most part. We're not. We're on a bunch of different pages. Now, your last half hour, you were talking to that woman about the taste of River North, and it really triggered a lot of memories because when I worked at WLS, I would go. I love al fresco dining during the summer. Mm-hmm. I don't care how hot it is because mm-hmm. when you live in a northern state, you know that window is small to be outside.
Very small.
So I'll sit outside and eat hot soup on a 90-degree day, and when I worked at WLS, I would go to lunch at Pettorino's there, eat outside, and another favorite of mine is RL on Chicago Avenue. Mm-hmm. They have outside dining. And after I worked the WGN afternoon shift, if my wife was out of town, I'd walk down to Chick-fil-A, and she was talking about Chick-fil-A, and get a couple of chicken sandwiches and some fries and walk home. And that whole experience, and that's part of how I developed that walk to Wrigley when I left the station one night. I had tickets to the Cubs, and I started to walk to get a grab a cab, and I started walking. I thought, well, I'll walk a couple more blocks. I ended up walking all the way to Wrigley Field, which is about 5 miles, and I loved it.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
I made a promotion out of that and took listers, that kind of stuff where you just want to be out and about.
Yeah, it's been hard to do that the last couple of days, I'll tell you that. There's so many things that we've canceled. Like we had plans for like weeks to go out with some friends and do some things and whatever. You didn't even want to get in your car at this point. I know that's it's avoiding the point of what you're trying to make here, but like those 2 days that I actually ended up spending at home, I felt pent up because I, like you, like to be social. I like to be out there, and yes, I like to be dining outdoors. Not when it's 95, but you know, 80 I'll take.
Okay, well, I look at that short window and I don't care. I like to have my pores opened up and live.
Yeah, right. I know. You were talking about the fact that you turned that into a promotion, that you walked to Wrigley. Was that a thing on one of the stations?
Yeah, I started the bit where I thought, oh, I like this. Maybe the listeners would like doing this with me. And I would take, I believe it was 10 listeners, and we would walk. And we'd stop, have a drink along the way, and then made our way to Wrigley, watched the game, and then we gave them a ride back to the studio, and it was at the Tribune Tower. But just you don't see when you're driving, you don't see the same things you do when you're walking. And I would notice things along the way from the Tribune Tower down Clark Street or whatever that I never noticed before.
Yeah,
because if you're driving by, you never notice this stuff. But I'm thinking, wow. I wouldn't even pick up on this. So that became a thing. I did it 2 or 3 times over the years and really enjoyed it. And I think the listeners did too.
I think when you have kids too, you kind of teach them what you like. I mean, obviously, because they're experiencing it with you and talking about going out there and doing things and how kids today aren't. My oldest son, who's 25 now, he gets up a couple days a week at 6 o'clock in the morning. And he goes down, whether he drives or takes the L with his bike or the train or whatever, and he does a cold plunge in Lake Michigan twice a week.
Wow.
It's the same group's doing it. They hang out. Maybe they'll grab a cup of coffee afterwards. And then he's back home, showered, going to work. So,
wow.
And playing the volleyball thing, too, on Oak Street Beach or wherever, on Foster Beach. Like, I taught my kids, get out there, meet people, you know, be active. I don't like it when they're on their phones. My daughter constantly takes either the train downtown, or she'll drive, or she'll take the train to visit her boyfriend. But she's on the go all the time. My kids know that you only live once, and you got to get out and do it with people you like.
One of the things about Chicago that I always thought they need to promote this more, there are beaches in this city in the middle of the country.
Yeah.
Beaches.
Yeah.
And that is a remarkable thing that I think after a while you take it for granted. But I'll never forget the first time I went down to one of the Chicago beaches. My aunt lived two blocks from the beach there. We came down from the south side from West Pullman to visit her. And she said, bring your swimming trunks. And I go, oh, you have a pool in the apartment building. She goes, no, I live by the beach. I'm like, where? What? So we walked to the beach. Yeah. And it was, oh, my God, we're in Chicago still?
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. I love it. More with Gary Meyer right after this. Yeah, right after this, 720 WGN. Talking to Gary Meyer, you mentioned earlier about going to record stores. I still was doing that years ago. I still love going to a record store, even if it's a used record store and looking through stuff. But my kids, my two youngest kids both have record players, but my daughter has these record holders. She's probably got 15 or 20 albums behind her bed. That is her artwork, because looking at albums, it was all about artwork. All those things were. You can't see any of that stuff anymore. It was just part of the experience.
It's funny you said that, because I remember in high school, I went over to a friend's house. He had a whole wall that he made of just album covers. He took the albums out and put the covers on one full wall. It was so impressive. It was like, wow, this is so cool, because you're right. Those covers were a piece of art in themselves.
Yeah. I do miss going to record stores. Anytime I can, I will. As I said, when he was saying to Navy Pier that we have a big vinyl thing here, it's a big deal. And I like that it's a big deal with young people too, because it's almost an experience. Look, we can listen to anything on our phones, listen to anything on our laptops, our iPads, whatever. But to be able to put like a needle to a record, I'm not sounding old with this. I think kids really enjoy that experience and doing something retro, you know?
Because it's digital, otherwise you don't see the album cover. There's nothing. You just hear it. It's on a wire, and you don't have that when you were listening to the music. You were looking at the album cover, reading the liner notes. It was a whole experience, and you would stack them in your bedroom and all that. And all that stuff, it's just everything's homogenized for our protection, I guess.
A little bit, but there are some vintage things happening. It's not vintage things for the older generation that experienced the first time. It's for, like, My friend's daughter, my daughter's friend came over, and she came over with an actual camera with film in it, and that's what she was taking pictures. It sounds silly at this point, but she's like, no, these pictures are cool, and it's great, and it's kind of neat to go down and have your pictures, you know, professionally processed and all that other stuff. So
that's funny.
Yeah, I think people
that's
like
funny. I worked at a drugstore, so people brought their film in, and we would send it out, and they'd come and pick their pictures up, and that was the whole process. Wow.
Scrudlins, I remember in Chicago doing that. That was a big deal, big photo place here. What are the other plans for summer? What are you doing to keep busy these days besides your podcast?
That's been the mainstay. My wife and I are taking care of her now 101-year-old mother.
Wow.
And that's, yeah, got some good DNA on the female side of the family. My mother just passed away a few months ago at 98. And, man, it's the stuff they've seen in their life.
Yeah.
Really, to talk to them and hear all the change. You talk about changes and what they've experienced. Go back 100 years and start there.
You know, it's funny. We're only two. I was talking to my youngest son about this. We're only 250 years old. And that's not, and this, it is an only. We're only 250 years.
Nothing.
That's nothing. And the late 1800s, 1900s, we just discovered how to put sound out there and pictures in the last 125, 140 years. Like, so when we say things are changing, you're not going to Blockbuster, running a video, this stuff's moving very, very fast, and every generation is going to have a memory on how they experienced it. But we're just not old. We're not that old as a country and as a society or even an evolution in what we're experiencing. Light bulb was 140 years ago? Sitting in the dark, lighting candles all day. You know?
Dave, if you have lived the majority of your life after 1950, you've enjoyed some of the most incredible creature comforts ever. Billions of people have walked this earth and never had any of it because it wasn't invented.
Yeah, really after 1970, I want to correct you there.
Oh, yeah? Is that when it started? Okay. Is that when you got your central air? Is that when it was?
No, I think there was a window unit that we had to deal with, if you can believe that.
Well, air conditioning, to your point about, if you look at the late 1800s, early 1900s, you had the Wright brothers, you had Willis Carrier, who invented air conditioning, You have Alexander Graham Bell, Thomas Edison, all in that vicinity of time, coming up with incredible stuff.
It's amazing. I know. It's crazy. I know how we experience things. Very, very, very different. But it's interesting, having, you know, like 20-somethings in your house and how they kind of navigate through things and navigate through life. It's just, I don't want to say that there are shortcuts, but there's just definitely different ways of doing things. And you get stuck in your ways on how do you handle things. But like, the one thing that my son does is he still goes to the bank. He goes, I want to see my money deposited in the bank. But my daughter, she doesn't care. Her paycheck gets snapped on her phone and deposited into the bank and it's over. You know, it's just so different. Or I'll come home like tonight from the show and I'll see like Amazon like a Whole Foods grocery on my front porch that was delivered in paper bags that are lined in aluminum foil. I'm like, really? We couldn't just go to the grocery store and go pick something up? What?
Yeah, I know it's great to have this convenience, but there is something about getting out and being with other people and getting in traffic jams and all that good stuff.
And getting on the air with your buddy Dave and having a conversation, which I always appreciate, Gary. And you're still doing podcast thing, GaryMeyer.com, 5 days a week, there's a subscription for a few of them, and you're still having a good time doing that.
Yeah, really enjoying it. And this is what I do. I don't have any other skills, Dave, that I know of.
What was the cocktail on your cocktail hour tonight?
Dean Richards of WGN fame. And we talked about The Odyssey. And here, Christopher Nolan, who did The Odyssey, he did the whole movie in IMAX.
Wow.
Which is remarkable for a lot of reasons, because the IMAX film canister only contains about 3 minutes of film. So you can only film for 3 minutes. You have to stop and reload. And he still came in under budget and under schedule on that movie. And he saw his first IMAX movie at the Museum of Science and Industry at 16. And that's what triggered him to say, one day, I'm going to do that. How about that?
That's cool. That's very, very cool. Gary, go have another Manhattan. Happy Friday to you. We'll talk to you soon, brother.
Sure. Sure. My liver, Dave. Thanks.
See you, buddy.